Guys, this morning it's wonderful to be with you. It's my privilege to share with you a couple of thoughts from the Word of God. Are you excited? I'm also very excited. I was hoping more people would come, but the rain kept them in their beds. They're still under the spirit of duvet. Eh? Do you know that spirit? It's an awful one, but it's good sometimes. Now, guys, thank you for coming out. Thank you for putting time aside in your weekend to come and listen to God's Word. My name is Yaku. Me and Carmen, we work here, we serve the Lord here, and it's so good for us to be with God's people wherever we are. Amen. And I hope this morning you will be blessed by the Word of God. I hope you will be challenged. I hope your life will change, and that you will not walk out here the same. Amen. But this morning, I think before we start, let's just as a church, just take 2x2, just quickly pray for our Zimbabwe team. They are finishing off their mission in Zimbabwe, and they are, I think, heading home later today. They had an accident on the way there with a tire, and the car could have flipped, but it didn't. God kept them. But I think it's our responsibility who stays behind to pray for them. So I think husband and wife, friends, just 2x2, just take a moment. Let's just pray for them, ask God for their protection, and thank God for what He's done through them. Okay, so let's just take a moment and just pray with each other, and just bring them before the Lord. Let's do that. Father, we want to just thank you this morning in Jesus' name that we can bring our brothers and sisters from this church, God, to you, Andries and Mario and the team, Lord. We want to thank you for what you've done through their lives in Zimbabwe. Thank you that you've got a burning desire, God, to save that nation, to redeem that nation, to turn things back, God, into normal, Father. And we want to bring them before you, and we want to just thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord, our protection, God. And we pray that over them, God, and their vehicles, Lord. And we pray, God, as they leave the country, that they will have travel mercies. And that you will appoint your angels over them, God, and bring them safely back home, God. With a lot of stories, Lord, with a lot of testimonies of what you've done, God. As you are a faithful, living God. In the name of Jesus. And all people, God, say?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, tell your neighbor, let's buckle up. We are going somewhere. Are you ready? Do you have your pens out, Bibles on your lap? Let's go, okay? I'm excited about this morning. The Lord is going to speak to you. The Lord is going to change your life this morning. I want to ask you, open your heart to Him. He loves you. That's why you're here. It's not by coincidence that you are here. God has brought you here. He's canceled things, made it possible for you to be here. And He's chosen me to be the vessel this morning. And I am so excited, okay? I've got a really simple word, but a powerful word for you. And it's going to bless you. It's going to edify you. It's going to be amazing, okay? So, And this all started a couple of days ago when something in the scriptures caught my eye. And I was reading and it really challenged me. And I thought, listen, yeah, the church must know this. The church will understand this. And as I was reading in John 13, we find Jesus there with His disciples in the upper room. And they enjoying the last final Passover meal before He went. And straight after that, Jesus speaks to His disciples and He gave them His final words and His final message. And in John 7, and His final words and message in John 14, 15 and 16. And then straight in John 17, we all know Jesus prayed a prayer to the Father for you and for me and all those who would believe. And immediately after that, the Bible tells us that they went over to the brook Kidron and went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus eventually would be arrested, betrayed, and subsequently crucified. Now, being in the upper room in John 13, Jesus, I believe, knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. And because he knew that, he also knew that he didn't have many opportunities to speak to his disciples again. Just think of that. It's that last moment when you're sitting with a loved one, they share what's most important upon their heart. And that's what Jesus does here with his own disciples. He taught them all things. He showed them the way. He showed them the distant life. He showed them everything. And now he's telling them his very, very, very important words in John 14 to 16. And I believe God, guys, that he shared with them the most important thing. And the main theme that as I was reading these chapters that caught my eye was the last words of Jesus was the coming of the Holy Spirit. All over in those three chapters, Jesus was telling them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I believe, that Jesus saved the best for last. He saved to share. That was on his most critical on his heart for them to hear. He left it to the very end. Early in his ministry, he changed the water into wine. He kept the best for last. Isn't that true? And the same here, because I believe Jesus knew that the Holy Spirit will change his disciples' lives forever. And it will change all the believers of every generation coming's lives forever. You cannot stay the same when the Spirit of God comes into your life. Amen? So Jesus makes a statement to them here in John 16, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if you do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you." Now, church, I don't believe that the disciples had a clue what Jesus was saying here. My question to you is, what would be more advantageous for them to have Jesus in the flesh with you? Think about that. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him raising the dead man to life. They've eaten with him. They've lived with him. Amen? And they've heard him teach. But now Jesus is saying to them, stop the bus, guys. Stop the bus. My most important message to you is that it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. So this morning, as I was reading this, I said, God, how can we as the church read over these scriptures and not stop? Let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, tells us that something is to our advantage, what are we supposed to do? Stop and listen. Pay attention. Say, God, what are you saying? You see, he is alive. He knows what's best for us. That's why he can promise to us what is to our advantage, isn't it? And if Jesus, the Son of God, the one who knows everything from everything, tells us, my church, this is important. Let's stop. And that's what I want to do today. Very simply, I want to share with you from the words of Jesus in John 14 to 16, what are the six advantages that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do when He comes to the church. Amen? So let's start here and let's pray first. Father, we thank you this morning for this amazing promise about your Holy Spirit, Lord. That you said it's to our advantage when He comes into our lives. And Lord, we know the story that you did go away and that you did send Him to us. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that you haven't left us as orphans, but you gave us your Spirit to empower us, to change us, to go and change the world out there, Lord. But this morning we open our hearts and ask that you'll come and first change our lives. So Holy Spirit, this morning, we give you the service. We ask that you will illuminate the Word of God. You'll speak to every heart here. And you'll bring lives back to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing word. Thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word gives life and makes this simple wise. This morning we thank you for light. We thank you for life in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the first advantage the Holy Spirit will do is He will not only be with you, but He will also be in you. Jesus said, the first advantage, John 14, if you will love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. What an amazing promise. Now, guys, Jesus makes a very important statement here, which I think we must grasp. And Jesus makes an important distinction here. He says that the Holy Spirit will be with you, but also in you. Now, Jesus is using here temple language. If you're a Christian, you will know there was a temple in the Old Testament and a temple in the New Testament. What is Jesus talking here about? So we must understand, first of all, what happened under the New Testament. Under the New Testament, guys, you will find that not all of God's people had access to the Holy Spirit. Only a few selected ones were anointed and enabled by the Spirit of God to perform specific tasks. David, Solomon, Saul, name them. And when God has chosen them and he's done their task, the Spirit will usually leave them. But generally, for those of us, the normal you and I, we had no access to the Holy Spirit back in the Old Testament. It was only usually a prophet, a priest, or a king that God has chosen and anointed for a specific task, to bring many times deliverance for his nation. But to even make it worse for us this morning, God's presence, God's Spirit under the Old Testament, didn't only were on a few people, but it also only dwelt in the temple behind the veil. You remember that story? How the Ark of the Covenant representing God's presence going with them, but it was limited to only one priest to go into that place once a year. God's presence was away from his people. Not everybody had access under the New Testament. And that is what Jesus is referring to here in John 14. He says, the Spirit will only be with you. And under the Old Testament, the people of God only had the outer guidance of the Spirit. It was a cloud by day and a fire by night. God with them, but not inside of them. Amen? So guys, the good news this morning for us is that Jesus has died for you and for me. And when he died, the Bible says he tore the veil in the temple from top to bottom. Amen? Amen. And that means that God has his presence available to all of his children in the New Testament. God has torn the veil. Amen? So under the New Testament today, God's Spirit dwells in new temples. And the new temples are all believers in Christ who has been changed by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote about this in Corinthians. Read with me, he says here. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He brought you for a price. Use your bodies therefore to glorify God. 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on, he says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Look at this Old Testament promise God is speaking to in the future, he says. And God has says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. It has always been God's heart to be inside of us, not out in a temple, walking, living in a cloud. God wants to be with these people, amen. He wants to be in your life, with your life. He wants to be involved in everything that you do. Don't exclude him this morning. In other words, church, you are the new temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now this only happens, listen to me, this only happens when you are born of the Spirit. Read John chapter 3. Jesus explains it, the whole story to Nicodemus. The Bible says that happens when, the Bible calls it being born again. When the Holy Spirit comes and He recreates your spirit and He makes you a new person. The Bible calls it become a new creation in Christ. Something has changed. And only then does Jesus live inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that is why Paul could say the following in Romans 8. Read with me, he says, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He does not belong to Christ. He is truly not a child of God. That is not my words. That is the words of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And that is what Jesus is referring to in John 14 when he said, the Spirit of God will not be only with you, but he will be inside of you, referring to the believers in the New Testament, living and being led by the Spirit from within. But you need to open your heart for God. You need to say, God, I want you inside of me. I'm tired of having you only on the outside. I'm tired of hearing about you from other people. It's time that you're being led yourself. Amen? And guys, I will say, what an advantage to us. Amen? We're talking today about the advantages of the Holy Spirit in your life. What an advantage to have the Spirit of God inside of us, not anymore out there. The New Testament is greater than the Old. And here's just one proof of that. The Spirit of God wants to not be with you, but He wants to be inside of you. The second advantage the Holy Spirit will do is He will teach us and bring things to our remembrance, Jesus says. John 14 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Amazing promises, guys. But the first thing Jesus says here, the Spirit of God will teach us. He will teach us. Now, I know many people that run off with the Scripture and said, Yaku, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to listen to you. I don't even have to read my Bible. And they will say, listen here, they will use Scriptures like 1 John, which says, I've got an anointing from God to teach me and to lead me into all truth. And therefore, I don't need to listen to your preaching. And I will say to that this morning, yes, we have an anointing. Yes, He does teach us, but He doesn't teach us independently from the Word of God. You cannot pull Scripture out of its context and make it stand alone and form your own doctrine. Amen? All the Bible school students? I hope you learn something as we teach you throughout the year. You see, guys, Jesus didn't say that you don't need anybody else to help you or you don't need to read the Bible when you've received the Holy Spirit. No. We need the Bible and we need other believers to help us grow in the Lord. I mean, Ephesians 4 says the following. God has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ to help equip them for ministry and to help them mature. That is the truth. So yes, the Holy Spirit does teach us, but He doesn't teach us. Yes, He does teach us, and He teaches us in part through people. That is why we come to church. That is why we listen to the Word of God. But it is also true that the Holy Spirit will teach you independently as you study the Word of God. Amen? It's both. It's not one or the other. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Jesus also said that the Spirit of God will remind us of all things. Now I want to say to us this morning, the Spirit of God cannot remind you of anything which you have never known before. Isn't that true? Therefore, church, is of utmost importance that we become familiar with the words of Jesus. It's important for us to know the words of Jesus. So we can give the Holy Spirit something to remind us of. You must put in to get out. Amen? In fact, we must know all of Scripture because Jesus is the Word made flesh. John 1 says He's the Word made flesh. Came to dwell among us, inside of us. You see, once you put the Word inside, the Holy Spirit can bring it back to your memory. Two examples of this is, we all know the story, Jesus in the desert fighting the devil. What did He do? Jesus could have said to the devil, listen here, my friend. It's written. Sorry, it's written. Flee from me. Depart from me, Satan. How could that have happened? If Jesus never knew the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inside of Him, empowering Him to do ministry, reminding Him, listen here, Jesus, use those words. Correct Satan, he's wrong here. That is what God wants to do in your life. And a wonderful story I remember from my student years is Pastor William, one of our pastors earlier in the ministry. He told me once a story. He was shopping with his wife one Saturday morning they live in Cape Town, and their one son was with him, and they up and down in the alleys. I think it was Makro, one of those big shops in the southern suburbs. And they were shopping, and his son was sitting on the rail, and he was reaching out to sweets, I suppose. And he fell backwards, and he hit his head against a ledge or something sharp, and his eyes flipped back, and he went into a state, you know, and foam came out of his mouth, and he was standing there and, you know, panicking. His wife ran off to get somebody, and he's like, what do I do? And in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, yeah, tell your son he will not live, but he will die. Picked up his son, put him in his lap and say, Brett is his name, Brett, you will not die, but you will live. Sorry. I'm so excited, it just boils out of me. Sometimes the wrong way. He takes bread in his hands. He said, bread, in the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you will not die, but you will live. You will not die, but you will live. And bread's eyes pop back, sat up, said, hi, Daddy, and he continues. What a testimony. What a testimony, guys. But that is the Holy Spirit in his life. Without thinking it, without thumb-sucking it, that scripture stands somewhere in Psalms, I think. But, you know, that is the Spirit of God pulling that scripture out because Pastor William knew that scripture. He put it inside of his heart. And I've experienced the same for my own life. You're coming into a situation, you don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit of God just comes and reminds you of things that Jesus has said to you. Amen? And the Bible is the words of Jesus. So get it inside of you, church. Amen? What an advantage to us. You are not left alone. You've got the Spirit of God in you to help you, to teach you, to assist you. Amen? What an advantage. The third advantage the Spirit of God will do for us is He will testify of Jesus. John 15 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me," Jesus saying. Now guys, the question I have to you, for you is, how does the Holy Spirit testify about Jesus? It's a strange question because we think of the Spirit of God as something that is out there in a cloud, in a tree, coming down, visiting churches. So, maybe now and then. Isn't that true? We get a goosebump. And then we say, that is the Holy Spirit. No. How does the Holy Spirit testify about Jesus? The answer is in the next verse. Jesus saying, "And you must also testify of me," referring to his disciples, "because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry." So Jesus is speaking to his own disciples and saying, guys, you have been with me from the very beginning. You've seen what I've done. You've seen how I've loved people, touched people, changed people. Go and do the same. Go and talk to the world about me. That's how you glorify Christ. That's how you testify about me. Because when you do it, the Spirit of God will testify about Jesus through you to the world. Because he's living inside of you. Amen? So listen, church, if you are a follower of God, this is how you do it. If you are a believer of Christ, that's how you do it. You see, the works of Jesus is now being continued on earth through the Holy Spirit inside of you. The works of Jesus is being continued on earth through the Holy Spirit inside of you. Not out there in a mysterious cloud floating around. We don't do magic in church. We do God. We do the power of the Spirit through us. Amen? That's Martin stole my scripture. But look at this. It's not something that does separate from us. It's one work between two partners, us and the Holy Spirit. You read Mark 16, it says, and Jesus told them that them is his disciples. He's telling it to you. You will go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized in my name, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These signs will follow them. They will cast out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will handle snakes with safety. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place hands on sick people and they will be healed. Listen to verse 20 that says, "And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord working through them," confirming what they have said. So when you testify of Christ, the Spirit of God comes through you and ministers about Jesus. The disciples responded upon the great commission of Christ and say, "We will go, Lord. We will go and preach." Preach just means announcing the goodness of Jesus. So listen here. Hello, my friend at work. You know, do you know Jesus? He's wonderful to me. This is what he's done in my life. That is preaching. That's testifying also. And through that, the Holy Spirit wants to testify that Jesus. Amen? So I want to encourage you this morning. Go and speak to your neighbors. Go and speak to your friends about the wonderful news of Jesus. Don't leave your testimony that the dust gets so thick you can't even remember your testimony or your story about God's goodness. Amen? He will testify of Christ. The fourth advantage, the Holy Spirit of Jesus says, remember we're talking about John 14 to John 16. In John 16 he says, "You will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment." Very important ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 16, it says, "And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Now, the important thing that Jesus says about the Spirit of God, the first thing he says, he will convict. What does that mean? Conviction means four things on your screen there. Is to convince someone of something, om jou te oortuig. To reprove someone of wrongdoing. To expose what is wrong. And to awaken a conscience of guilt. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. And it's important for us to guys understand that conviction of the Spirit is not condemnation or accusation. Very important. We get confused about that. And we need to discern when the devil is accusing us and when the Spirit is convicting us. Amen? The two is from the different sources. Accusation, condemnation will speak down to you, will say things that will drive you away from God. It will minimize you. It will condemn you. You will feel guilty about what is being said. That's accusation. Oh, yeah, you fatty, you can't do this and that. Oh, yeah, you are too weak. You are too strong. God isn't with you. Accusations. And that's why you need to know the word of God so you can discern those lies coming and you can push them away. Amen? Conviction's purpose is always to bring you closer to God. Conviction's purpose is always to bring salvation and freedom in your life. Amen? Discern the two. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction. That's what Jesus has promised us He will do. Amen? Now the word, very important, we must understand, the word there in the Greek for world refers to all unbelievers and people who are still opposed to Christ and as a result are not saved. The word in the Bible, world, can mean three things. It can mean all humanity, the whole cosmos, or it can mean the world. Those who are not believers, those who are still opposing God, those who are not saved, who are not born by the Spirit of the living God, which are not born again. Those, the Bible says, is the world here. So the Holy Spirit will convict unbelievers of the sin of not believing in Jesus, He says there. The conviction of the sin of unbelief. And here I'm talking not about, I've heard about Jesus, He's so good to me, one day in church. No, you have an active faith in Him every single day of your life. John 3, read to me, listen to this. John 3, Jesus says wonderful words. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus does not do condemnation. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So guys, you see, it's not a matter of confessing all your sins as a way to get saved. No, it's a matter of faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. A matter of repentance, turning away from your sin and believing in the Messiah. Believing in Jesus and what He's done for you. That is what John is saying here. You see, if I had to confess all my sins before I could get saved, I will not be saved today. Do you know why? Because I can't remember all the wrong things I've done when I got saved. It's so many. It's about faith in Christ and returning from your sins. That's what the Bible says in Romans 10. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess Him as Lord, then you will be saved. Because you can confess all your sins and make your life right and still not be changed on the inside. Isn't that true? And live a religious, hypocritical life. Ticking all the boxes which the church tells you to do, that which is hogwash. It's faith in the living God. Turning away from yourself and turning to Jesus, the life, the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And guys, that's what we need to tell people when we witness to them. That God so loved them that He sent His Son to die for them upon the cross to forgive their sins. Amen? He doesn't do condemnation, but rather invites people to accept this free gift of life in His hands. God invites you this morning to accept His Son. He doesn't condemn you, but if you don't believe, you're already condemned, John says. It's your decision this morning. That's the world, the message the world needs to hear, that God gave Jesus so they can be saved. And you can write this down, and that is what the conviction of sin means. That the Holy Spirit will help unbelievers to identify Jesus as their Messiah. That's what Jesus says, He will convict sinners of sin. Looking at the world of sin, meaning He will help people see that Jesus is the Savior. I will say again, what an advantage to us, amen? That as we reach out to people, as we go out and we love people, the Holy Spirit will assist us in convicting people. Do you know why that is important? I don't know about you, but I've met people out there which is very opposed to the gospel, very opposed to the thoughts of Jesus. And you know what? Then I don't have the answers to help them. I don't have the answer to show them that Jesus is the Messiah. But the Holy Spirit in that moment will come and convict them, will highlight to them what is wrong in their lives, and will bring them change in their hearts. The glory of the Holy Spirit, guys. He will help you. He will assist you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. Then just a side note here. For some of us may believe something wrong about the conviction. There's a big lie that says the Holy Spirit does not convict believers of sin. What is make that right and say, no, the Spirit of God will convict a child of God about sin in his life. It does not convict you only about righteousness and your standing in God. There's a whole thing about that which is not right. Why do I say that? Because God loves you. God will not leave you in your sin so that your sin can destroy you. No. He will rather show you your sin because He loves you and get you out of your sin. Amen? God's heart for you is love. He won't leave you so sin can... Because sin destroys us. It separates us from God. Because He loves you, He will come to you. He will tell you, Yaku, what you've done there is wrong. Go and say sorry. I've told you a story last time here about Leslie. He came in here. I've offended him here at the office. I felt so bad. You know what? At the moment, I discern, Yaku, that's not the devil condemning me. That's the Holy Spirit telling me, Yaku, make right with your brother. I walked out here. I looked for him. He was gone. I said, God, forgive me, please. Because David says, if you sin, you actually sin against God. If you sin against his other. So I prayed, I said, God, bring Leslie back. The next morning, it's 8 o'clock. I run to him. I said, brother, I'm so sorry. At first, he was like, you know, I said, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. God has convicted me. The Holy Spirit does convict us of our relationship with one another because He loves us. Amen? The Bible says He wants us to live with peace with all men. Peace with one another. Amen? If there's no conviction of the Spirit, there will be no peace between us. So the Holy Spirit does convict us of sin because He loves us. He will make us uncomfortable in our sins. I've got a lot of scriptures for you. If you don't believe me, Revelation 3:19, John 2:9, Hebrews 12:6, Titus 1:15, 1 Timothy 5:20, 2 Timothy 4:2, all speaks of the Holy Spirit convicting believers of their sins. Don't believe the lie that He does not do that. You will miss the Spirit of God in your life. Amen? The second thing He will do is He will convict the world of righteousness. The world righteousness simply means to have a right standing with God. To have a right standing with God. And unfortunately, guys, our sins have separated us from God and made us unrighteous before Him. The Bible says our righteousness, our efforts to be made right, is like filthy rags before God. Your efforts to please God is filthy rags before Him. In other words, your own efforts to be made right is unacceptable and it actually makes us offensive to God because God hates sin. God hates sin. So we need someone to help us to become righteous again before God. And Paul writes here in Corinthians, he says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? That it's only through Jesus that we can be made right before God again. Amen? Unfortunately, all of us are born into sin, the Bible says. All of us have fallen short of the glory of Christ. But God has sent His Son as an offering for us to, so that we can be pleasing, we can be acceptable to God again. He took our place, God. Jesus took your penalty of God's wrath so you can be free, so you can have right standing with God. That is such great news. You can decide today. You can say, Yaku, you're speaking nonsense. Then, my friend, go ahead. You can pay for your own sins. It will be a very dark day. Or you can accept this morning the offer of Christ that says, I've took your place, Peter. I've taken your place, James. I've taken your place, Paul. And thank God for life. Thank God for righteousness. Amen. Righteousness is a free gift we receive at salvation, which cannot be earned or worked for. That's why it's good news. That's why it's the gospel. Righteousness is a free gift that God gives you when you put your faith in Jesus. He first of all justifies you. That means He declares you innocent. You say, Yaku, you are standing like pure white before me. I cannot say anything wrong with you, Yaku, because of the blood of Christ. You are innocent of all guilt. And now, because of that, my son, you have got right standing in my presence. That's the gospel. God's righteousness, write this down, does three things for us. It brings us acceptance by God. It brings us access to God. And it brings us answers from God. Wonderful news. Amen? Gives us access to God because God is righteous. We bring you answers from God and we will make you accepted by God. So in other words, the conviction of righteousness the Holy Spirit will do means it will help unbelievers see that their own efforts to be right with God is wrong and that Jesus is the answer for what they're looking for. You as a Christian need to know these things. Because when you go out there in your mission into the people, leading them to Christ, you need to know the Holy Spirit will do these things for you. As you minister, he will talk to unbelievers like that Jesus is the way, is the truth, and is the life. Why do I say that? If you read these scriptures in John 14, 16, the content of the scriptures, the whole time Jesus is telling, listen, I'm going away. I'm going away. The people around you are hostile. They hate you. Because they hated me, they will hate you. They will even put you out of the synagogues. They will even try to kill you and think they are doing a service unto God. So don't worry. You've got the Holy Spirit. He will comfort you. He will be with you. He will be in you. He will empower you. He will testify through you. He will guide you. He will teach you. Amen? He will convict the world as you go on, as you go out. What an advantage we have, guys. Amen? Amen? Come on. I'm talking good news this morning. He will convict of righteousness. The third one, he will convict the world of judgment. Because the ruler of this world, Satan, has already been judged, Jesus says. What does that mean? Colossians 2, Paul says, he cancelled, Jesus, the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and he shamed them publicly by victory over them on the cross. In other words, guys, Jesus is saying that his judgment on Satan has already been passed on to him when he died on the cross. Satan is already judged. You must know that. He's also defeated, Colossians 2 says. Jesus has judged him when he died on the cross. But the scary part for us today, and please hear my heart here. The scary part for us this morning is Jesus said the following. He will convict the world of judgment. What does that mean? What does the word world mean? People. Unbelievers. This is important. In other words, God's judgment, God's conviction of judgment is not only on Satan, but also on his followers. That means God's judgment isn't only reserved for Satan, but for all those who refuse to obey God and who are without Christ. The judgment God passed onto Satan is also there for his believers, those who refuse to obey God and who are without Jesus. It's not my words. Paul writes here in Ephesians 2. Once, he's talking to the church, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, so rich in mercy, He has loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, have gave us life when He raised Jesus from the dead. Can you see what God is saying here? He says there that all those who refuse to obey God is actually obeying Satan. Guys, I'm talking good news this morning. There's only two kingdoms, light and dark. There's no gray area anymore, guys. We must stop playing games with God. We've got a real enemy, and God is saying, I've judged him already. You must make a decision, are you standing with Jesus, or are you with Satan? Are you obeying Jesus, and if you do it, he says you will love his commandments, or do you obey Satan, and you follow his commandments? If you are without Christ, the bad news is you are by default obeying Satan, because you are refusing to obey God and God's good offer to you in Christ. In other words, the judgment on Satan is only an illustration of the judgment that his followers will also suffer. The good news for us is Satan already is judged, and that is final. Jesus said so. That can't be undone. But the good news this morning, and listen to me please, is that there is a way out for unbelievers. There is a way out for unbelievers. The good news this morning is that God has demonstrated his love towards us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. God showed us the way out. Jesus is your way of escape. God so loved us and therefore He gave Jesus' Son so we can be rescued from the penalty of sin. God's judgment is coming, unfortunately. That is His love. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but He rather wants to give every single one of us life. He doesn't want any of you to perish. He doesn't want any of you to see standing underneath God's judgment. He's inviting us to accept the life in Jesus. And that is the conviction work of the Holy Spirit that He wants to do. He wants to point men to Jesus. He wants to help the unbelievers see that Satan is their real problem, not Jesus. He wants to show them that darkness is their problem, not Jesus. And in doing that, the Spirit will convict them of the judgment to come, and therefore they can flee God's wrath. Paul is saying it here. Good news. And guys, that is the message that we need to preach as a church, that Satan is defeated and judged, and that God wants us to rise up in our authority in Jesus and defeat him on earth. Amen? We need to defeat him. We need to stand against him. That's the word God gave Anis and Lisa. We need to stand up and push the trench of the kingdom back in Hermanus. Church, arise. Church, arise in your authority in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Satan is defeated. He is judged already. He's a defeated foe. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will help us to convict this world of sin, unbelief, judgment, and judgment. The fifth and second last advantage the Holy Spirit will do for us is He guides, He speaks, and shows us things to come. He guides, speaks, and shows us things to come. Jesus says in John 16, "However, when He, the Spirit of God's truth, has come, He will guide us into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Guys, I want to say to us, this is Christianity 101. This is how it's supposed to be with us. This is the norm for all believers. That Jesus says He will speak to us, He will guide us, and He will show us things to come. This is the norm. This mustn't be like, Yaku is foreign, where do you get that? I get it from the Word. Don't you read the Word? I believe the Word when God says this. Amen? So the first thing He says, He will guide us and He will teach us. In other words, guys, the Holy Spirit is the personal tutor of every believer. He's your personal assistant. He's your helper. In Greek, it's the parakletos. It means the one that comes alongside you to help you, to comfort you, to guide you, to teach you, to testify about Jesus in your life, through your life. What an advantage. Amen? What an advantage we have. He will guide you. He will not leave you clueless. God doesn't play with you hide and seek. Amen? He wants to show you. He wants to lead you because He is inside of you. Amen? And He will also never lead you against anything contrary to the Word of God, because He's the Spirit of truth. So you can trust the Holy Spirit. You can trust the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth because He is the Spirit of truth. And since He's the Spirit of truth, He also cannot lie to you. Listen to Him when He speaks. You can trust Him. Ask Him for guidance. Amen? Then Jesus also said He will show you things about the future. He will show you things to come. Isaiah 30 said it years before. He says, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so much comfort to us? That as you go into life, the Holy Spirit will be with you, will guide you. So listen, Yaku, don't go here, but go right. Stop here, don't go there. He's done it with Paul in Acts. He says, Paul, don't go into Asia. No. Why don't you go into the West? Go to Rome. Preach there. The Holy Spirit stopping him right there. Guiding him. Showing him the things to come. Amen? Now I remember a time in my life when I experienced this advantage of the Holy Spirit in such a real way. A few years ago, I was retrenched from my work. Me and Carmen, it was a devastating time in our lives. Difficult, you know, where's income going to come from? How are you going to live and survive? Moved to my parents' place here, all confused and all rattled. But you know what? God wasn't rattled. And before that time came when they spoke to us and listen, yeah, you must now go. I spent a time in God's Word. And God spoke to me, like a week before the time. I didn't know that, but in hindsight, I cannot tell you this perfect story. It sounds like a soapy, but it's not. A week before that, God spoke to me from Genesis. He gave me a wonderful promise about what is, you know, my life and what is going to happen in the church and where I'm going to go. But just in that next while. And I said, come on, look here, my love. It's amazing. You know, and we stood upon that about Isaac in the famine, having prosperity and all that in provision. And here comes the news. Yaku, church. I'm like, no. And my heart just, every time just said, no, this is not right. And I spoke that to the people. I said, no, God, you're making a mistake here. But how glad I am the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. That word carried us for 3 months. I don't know how long we've been without God. It carried me and said, God, you have said, Holy Spirit, you've warned me. You've said, you make a way. I trust you, God. Amen? And God did exactly what he said to us a few months later. But it was a tough time. And God, I believe the Spirit of God wants to do the same for you. He wants to show you things to come about your life, about your destiny, about your future, about the next job you must take, about the next, not next, but the first man or wife you must marry. He wants to speak to you. Trust him, please. I got it right there, didn't I? And guys, Jesus is the one that promised this to us. He will guide you. He will speak to you. And I think, because it's the truth for myself as well, I think many of us struggle with this, to believe this of the Holy Spirit. To receive that he actually speaks to us. That he actually will guide you. Many of us yet doubt the Holy Spirit. Many of us say, but, you know, I must make my plans, then God will help me. God helps those who help themselves. That's what we believe. No. God is faithful. He will help you despite yourself. You know, because maybe you're struggling with this because your life is so busy. You're running with this, running with that. Then the kids run. Then the exercise run. Then the husband run. Then the food run. You're so busy. Maybe your life is so filled with chaos and with noises that you can't hear the Spirit of God speaking to you anymore. I want to ask you, go to Jesus. Become quiet. Put those things out of your agenda and you will hear him speak to you again. Amen? I want to say to you guys, what an advantage we have. God speaking to us through his Holy Spirit. Amen? The last and final advantage Jesus says here in John 16 is he will glorify Jesus. Verse 14 he writes, he says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has given all that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The word glorify here means simply to honor, to highly esteem, to exalt, or to elevate. And that's what we want to do. You want to elevate, exalt, esteem Jesus. His main function, guys, is to put all the focus on Jesus. Not on himself. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate servant. He doesn't speak once about himself. He only speaks about that he hears from the Father through Jesus to us. What a servant. He glorifies the one and only Son of God. The Amplified Bible says that he will reveal, declare, and transmit everything to us that the Father has given us. He will take what his Father's and he will transmit it through to us. He won't give us his own message. He's a gentleman. He's amazing. And that means everything that belongs to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will take and bring it to us. That's why you can trust him. Is here to glorify Jesus. Amen? Now listen to me. Make a note. Anything and everything that comes from God through the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Anything and everything that comes from God through the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. If it does not glorify or elevate Jesus, it's the wrong spirit at work. If it does not glorify Jesus, it's the wrong spirit at work. Test it that way. Because Jesus is the central figure in everything that heaven does. Jesus is the focus of heaven. Read Revelation. It's all about the worthiest, the Lamb. It's all about the angels, the elders falling to who? To whom? To Paul, to John there? No. To the Son of God. It's all, Jesus is the central focus point of heaven. And the Holy Spirit wants to glorify him. Will glorify him. Let me end with this. And let me prove to you that Jesus is the center of heaven. Paul is speaking of Jesus in Colossians 1. He says, he is the image. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Guys, do you see that? Jesus ranks first. Jesus got the preeminence in heaven. He is your rock of salvation. He is your cornerstone. He is the soon coming King. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is everything you need. He's the one that all heaven bows down to and cries out, "Worthy is the Lamb." Jesus is Son of the living God. And the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Him and Him alone in your life. I want to ask you, does your life reflect the preeminence of Jesus? Does your life esteem and glorify the Son of God through everything and anything that you do? Think about that. Because I want to end with this promise of Jesus. This morning he said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I will send to you the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the encourager, your advocate, to assist you, to help you in the mission of leading the world to Christ. If you don't have a testimony, He will bring a testimony in and through your life. Just ask Him. He will speak to you. He will guide to you. He will teach you all things about Jesus. Trust Him this morning." And church, we know the story. Jesus did go away. And He did send us the Holy Spirit. He didn't leave us as orphans. And today, there's God's heart that every one of us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because by that way, Jesus lives inside of us. And that we also can be empowered by the Spirit to do His works on earth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for your words, Jesus. Thank you that when you were with your disciples in that final moments, Lord, you said to them the most important things. Because you knew the time ahead will be difficult. It will be dark. They will be martyred, killed, Lord God. They will be tested and put in jail. They will be stoned, God. They will be thrown out of synagogues, God. They will be chased from city to city, God. Acts shows us all the story of the apostles. But God, they overcame by one reason, because you didn't leave Him, but you sent them the Holy Spirit, God. And we want to thank you this morning that we can too have your Holy Spirit living inside of us. Thank you for this advantage, God. Thank you that you this morning want to change lives. Thank you that you want to this morning born people again from the Holy Spirit. So Father, this morning I pray, as I pray now, Lord, that you will start to convict hearts of sin, of judgment and of righteousness to come. God, Lord, that you will speak and you will quicken spirits this morning to come and to bow their knees at Jesus Christ. Friend, this morning I want to ask you, have you submitted your life to Jesus? Have you given your heart to the Savior? Maybe you are here this morning and trying to make right with God on your own ways. You're trying to keep rules and regulations. You're trying to keep traditions. You're trying to practice certain ceremonies. God is saying, leave those things. What God wants for you is He wants to bring you into a real relationship with His Son, where He lives in you through the Holy Spirit, and where you can hear His voice, and where He can show you things to come. That's what God wants to do for you. Now, I remember my own life and how this happened for me when I was riding in a buggy, a Nissan buggy from Cape Town to Stellenbosch. And the Spirit of God came and rescued me. When I gave my life to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of being obsessed with myself. I'm tired of trying to please You, but I can't, Lord." And with a friend in my car, we prayed. And Jesus saved me that very night, 10:30, the 4th of August, 2000. 1998, sorry. And everything was different because the Holy Spirit then lived inside of me. He opened my eyes to see Jesus. So I could, the first thing I could have praised Him, worshipped Him, glorified Him. God wants to do the same for you. Whatever you have done, God loves you. He is bigger than your sin. He will give you a fresh start. He will give you a new heart. He will take your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will make you a new person. This morning I want to ask, if that is you, I want you to stand to your feet. I want to say, today, I want you to say, God, I'm hearing your word. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of only having life without you. I'm tired of trying to please you through external things. If that's you, take a moment, but count the cost. Maybe you're here this morning and you have had an encounter with Jesus before, but you have drifted far from him. You know he's real. Everything I said, your heart says yes, yes, yes. But you're not supposed to be where you are with God at the moment. You're distant from him. You are far from him. And I've got good news this morning for you, that God is not mad with you. But it's time that you come home.